You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have David Wallach on the line, and he's president of Barclay Street Real Estate and Triumph Real Estate Group, and he's also co-host of Calgary Next. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
All right, David. So we have a lot to talk about today. So we'll talk about leadership and real estate opportunities in Calgary. So a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives that watch this program and excited to get some insight into what's going on in Calgary. But before we do that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So, David, we at Mission Matters amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. David, what mission matters to you?
Wow, you hit your guest with a tough one to start with. I guess that sets the tone for the rest. You know, I think two things. One, and I don't know if one is more important than the other, but two things is, if you know the movie by Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur, you always challenge yourself whether you do the right things because you have to make decisions. And sometimes you don't have a sounding board that you can get advice and you have to make the decision. So you always kind of, do I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision? And sometimes it can create a procrastination. But so one thing is always trying to do the right thing. But then when you do the right thing is lead by example. You cannot ask people to do stuff that you are not willing to do. So leading by example is something that was probably engraved in me during my army service as a staff sergeant.
So I want to, we'll cover a lot of what you've done, you know, in real estate and also your show. And then also you're an author. So we'll talk a little bit about your book. But before we do that, I mean, where did all this start? Like, where did this entrepreneurship and business journey start for you?
Well, I was born and raised in Israel and immigrated to Canada only 23 years ago with my wife and three kids. So I think it started back in Israel once I finished the army service and got into the business world. I went to university first, and after 3 days, I asked my dad, how much do I owe you? And I'm out of there. And I went into sales, immediately went into sales and started in the insurance industry. Started working for an insurance brokerage. Then I moved to an insurance company, became a supervisor of life insurance and benefits. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I felt frustrated. And maybe that's something that is common to a lot of entrepreneurs. You feel frustrated that the people above you don't see things the way you see things. And I started my own insurance brokerage in 1990. It was April. Wow, April. We're in April now. It was April 1990. And, you know, my father always worked for a company. So when I told him I'm opening my own brokerage and I'm going to become an entrepreneur, he calls me one day and he says, you know, I didn't sleep for the last 3 weeks. How are you going to pay your bills? And I told him, you know, I didn't sleep 3 weeks before I made the final decision to open my brokerage. Once I made that decision, I slept like a baby. Mm. And so it's April 1990 that I started my first business.
Wow. And one big thing. So there's also some entrepreneurs or would-be entrepreneurs that are out there that'll, you know, just be graduating college or maybe they're just getting started in their career. Taking you back to, if I can, that moment in time when you made that decision, like that's a big decision. And especially like to do it when you hadn't had maybe the idea, like you didn't set off on this path where you're like, you have to be an entrepreneur. You have this family of like entrepreneurs who are all entrepreneurs. So you weren't necessarily born into the entrepreneurship side on that end. Like, what was that like when you finally made that decision and said, you're going to, you know, take the leap?
As you said, nobody in my family is an entrepreneur. I was the first one and the only one at the time. And I was married at the time. And the support I got from the wife and from my wife, it was unbelievable. And, wow. And I think we made a decision together that I'm so frustrated that life is too short not to be happy and not to do what you want to do. Didn't we face challenges? Hell yeah. We faced a lot of challenges. Did we make changes during our life? Yeah, we made changes. But as long as you make a decision that you're comfortable with or happy with or in peace with, go get it. Go get it. Go do the right thing for you. And when you do the right thing for you, you also do the right thing for others.
Yeah.
And you know, we tend to put hurdles in front of our own feet many times. Instead of other people putting the hurdles, we put them for ourselves and we procrastinate. And I've learned over the years to, you know, make a decision, trust something that is called your gut feeling. Mm-hmm. That your gut feeling is most of the time right. And that's, you know, it's a decision that nobody supported us at the time. Only my wife and I supported each other. And the rest is history, as you say.
So it's an amazing story, and I like to get these stories out there just for inspiration and just for everybody that's out there going through it. You know, the last couple of years, some businesses have fared well because maybe they had something to offer, or maybe some pivoted during this pandemic and everything else. You know, a lot of change going on. So as entrepreneurs are out there adapting and figuring out what they're going to do next, I find your story inspirational and motivating. It's something that can go out there and let people know that they can do it. So thank you for sharing that. And I wanna fast forward a bit though. So where did the real estate thing come? Like, how did that come about? So from insurance to, I'm sure there was some more in between there, but where did the real estate come up?
Well, the real estate came in Canada. When we left Israel, I said, I'm not going back to insurance. I didn't want to go back to insurance. And I was at my midlife crisis. I just turned 39 plus change. And I went to a bartender course. I decided that wine is my future. And I not just drinking it, but I also wanted to be involved. And what happened is when we immigrated to Canada, you have to go through medical testing and medical exams. And the government of Canada lost my medical exam, so I couldn't get a job here. We were already here. We moved here, and I couldn't get a job because I didn't get my status as a landed immigrant.
Yeah.
I had to do my test again. They have to send it to the embassy in Israel. Then it goes to France and the whole nine yards. So I had like 10 months that I was just driving around the city. And the kids were here. My wife was here. And I didn't work, but I was like going around meeting people, and I realized that real estate is going to boom. And I'm talking, that was 1999.
Wow.
And I realized that Calgary is going through a boom and just going to grow, and going, the real estate is just going, you know, crazy at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I said to my wife, I'm going to do a real estate course. And I did a real estate course, and immediately after I did my brokerage course. So my plan was to, you know, open my own brokerage after a while. And that's how I got into commercial real estate. And I didn't want, and one of the decisions I made was I want to go to commercial real estate and not a residential real estate. The difference is residential is more of an emotional sale. Mm-hmm. Meaning you hear people say, I see my kids growing here. I see myself in the kitchen here. When it comes to commercial, it's business to business. Mm-hmm. And that was my previous life in the insurance industry. Most of our clientele were entrepreneurs as well. Most mm-hmm. of my customers were entrepreneurs. So business to business kind of was easier for me to relate to. And that's how I started in commercial real estate. In Valentine's Day 2000 was my first day on the job.
Wow. Go figure. So you had this, you're turning 40 at this time. You're just around that age and you're making a career switch. You're almost a year into not at no fault of your own. You're almost a year into being, you know, not being able to work in Canada. You just immigrated there. You have kids, your wife. I mean, like, what was all that like? So now, like the second time you're starting a business, it sounds to me like it was a little bit possibly more complicated, and it's a completely different business. So you take a course and then you start in real estate. I mean, that's pretty uncommon in my experience. So you didn't go work for somebody for, you know, 3 to 5 years, learn the business, learn the ropes.
So let me share with you. So it was a very tough year and 3 months that I couldn't work. It was mentally tough. Thank God we had enough money set aside that we can survive when we immigrated. Mm-hmm. But it was a mentally tough time that you cannot provide, you cannot work, and you see the numbers on the bank for dwindling down every month.
Oh, for the entrepreneurs that are out there, anybody that's bootstrapped a business, like, you hit them in the heart right there. It's like, oh, those months, those first months when it's like you see that bank account balance going down and down. Go ahead. I just had to speak to the entrepreneurs out there that have ever bootstrapped anything.
So then I started applying for jobs with companies here, the real estate brokerages here, because that's what I know to do is sell. And it was interesting that, as you mentioned, I was 40 years old. My English today is Shakespeare compared to was 23 years ago. My accent is even 2 times or 4 times better than it was. So I was a little bit of a weird kind of person to walk into all those big international brokerages. We won't mention names.
Yeah.
And there was one company, local company here, that the owner at the time, John Chirot, said one thing. He said, if he's a good guy, hire him. That was his comment to the manager at the time. And so I started with the company, as I mentioned, on Valentine's Day 2000. Mm. You can send me flowers now every Valentine's Day.
Amen.
And in 2001, the founder decided to sell the company. So he decided to sell the company to some of the brokers that were with him for many years. Hmm. And they invited me in because they knew that I have an experience running a company, and they knew I had an experience that I already have my brokerage license. Mm-hmm. So I became one of the first partners here. And in 2009, we did a restructuring, and I became the owner. Hmm. And we're all working here still together. Mm-hmm. So that was the journey. I was lucky enough that I didn't have to start from scratch, meaning I did start from scratch on the job, but I didn't have to start a company from scratch. Mm-hmm. I kind of moved in as a partner and then became the president and the whole nine yards of, you know, growing with the company.
So now you're not many years into the career. I mean, you're years into the career, and you've been a successful entrepreneur in the past. But I want to circle back to this concept of leadership by example. It must have been a little bit challenging to step in that role as a leader immediately. Like, what was that like?
The Army gives you a lot of good tools. Mm. Contribute a lot of my career characters in the business world to the training I got in the Army. And, you know, you get to the Army, you're a wild 18-year-old. Yeah. And then you become, at 19, you become a staff sergeant of communication and radio communication and operation. So you're also already responsible of people's lives. Hmm. And that helps you to shape what your character is going to be in the future. So when I say I lead by example, I'll give you an example from recent years. 2 years ago, if you remember, I'm sure you remember, 25 months ago, come March, North America got into the COVID, pandemic shutdown. Real estate was considered and is considered essential services. Mm-hmm. So our office was open. And what we did is every day we had 50% of our staff to maintain the distance. Mm-hmm. I was here every day because I cannot ask people to come here if I'm not here. So that's leading by example. That's a role model you have to show. When I did my brokerage and I did sales and I worked on a team, I was part of the team, even though I was the president of the company. Mm-hmm. And I went to every meeting and I was dealing with clients. Today, I don't broker. I refer all my clients to my brokers. Mm-hmm. So, but you cannot ask someone to do something that you're not willing to do. As I'll give you one more thing. You know, we like to watch movies, all of us, right? We love. We just had the Oscars, the Emmy, the Grammy, all those events that I'd never watch. But we love to see in the movies, you know, the old westerns or the war movies that they saw charge. In Israel, in the Israeli Defense Forces, the command is follow me. It's not charge. Mm. That is kind of engraved into you from day one. It's follow me. And that's how I try to operate. Maybe I'm not successful 100%, but if I'm successful to 90% or above, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great. Follow me. I think that's something for all the leaders out there to take away from this. I know I will. I want to talk a little bit about your writing. So you were featured in a book, Desire, Discipline, and Determination, Lessons from Bold Thought Leaders. So I'm a big fan of books. I mean, I may be biased as a publisher, right? But a big fan of books, big fan of getting the word out in print and having people read it and really passing that knowledge on to the next generation. What was it like becoming an author?
Well, to say that I'm an author is a little bit of a stretch of the imagination. It's one book that I'm featured in one chapter. So, one of my qualities is that I'm humble. So it was a very interesting experience. My first language is Hebrew. Mm-hmm. My second language came from my parents was German. English is my third. So it was a little bit of a challenge, but I enjoyed it because I was working with someone like you that helped me write it in proper English. Let's put it, the red marks were way more than
bloody, I know.
But it was an interesting experience, humbling experience. I had to think a lot, which was great, and to kind of go deep. And you know what? I think I'm ready for another challenge like this. I think I enjoyed it at the end. During the process, I was a little bit annoying to the person who helped me. It was always in the last minute that I sent my next kind of corrections.
Right.
I think the best part of it was thinking and going deep internally.
Yeah. What do you hope that your readers gain from reading your work? Like, what are some takeaways that you hope they get?
I think that the one thing that is, we have a phrase in Hebrew that it's smart people learn to shave on someone else's beard.
Wait a minute. Say that one again. Smart people learn to shave on someone else's beard?
Yeah, so you don't cut yourself.
Come on, man. You're coming with it today, David.
That's a great one. So you don't cut yourself. Let other people cut themselves. So read what I wrote about my discipline, how I made mistakes, and don't do that mistake. Because human nature is we learn from mistake, unfortunately. We don't learn from our successes. We always use this phrase, oh, we've learned from our mistakes. Why don't we learn from the good stuff? Why do we learn from our own mistakes? So read the book. Maybe you can spare some of the mistakes you may do in the future.
It's great. Smart people learn to shave on someone else's beard. I've heard many Hebrew sayings. This one I think is going to stick with me, David. Finally, one that's simple enough for me to remember. I'm in. Your talk show.
Yeah.
So Calgary Next. So as I kind of run through these things, I mean, you got a lot going on and we still haven't even covered your actual brokerage yet, but Calgary Next. So now obviously you have, you know, the real estate brokerage, you've got a good commercial business going there. You're an author. I mean, you're busy. You're a busy guy. Calgary, I want to talk about the market in Calgary as well. But then you decide to do a radio show. I mean, where did this come from?
So a few years ago, I got an email from voiceamerica.com, which is a US over the internet radio. And I thought it's a spam or a hoax or something. And I just ignored it. Then I get another email. And then the guy connects me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Eventually, I said, okay, call me. Winston Price's name is the one of the producers there or salesman. And he says, well, you know, how did you get to me? Well, we saw you on LinkedIn. We think you'll be an interesting guy to be a host of our show. So my response was, I barely speak English and nobody understands my accent. Does that work for you? And he said, yes, perfect. So I started with Voice America. I had a show for 2 years that ran for over 2 years until I quit. That was taking care of business. Mm. What I did is for an hour, I interviewed people about how they start, where they come from was the third portion, the first third portion, the second portion, and how they start a business. And the last portion, the last third was what's the future for the company? Mm-hmm. And I've done it for 2.5 years. I interviewed people from the US, from Canada, from Estonia. And then I took a break. I was chairing the Calgary Economic Real Estate Committee, and I was on the board of TCN Real Estate Services. And when COVID hit, what happened is, let me backtrack a little bit. Calgary is an oil and gas-based city. That's most of our economy is oil and gas. November 2014, oil crashed. So our market went completely dead. And then you put fuel to the fire by adding COVID on top. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the mood was so gloomy and down that I went to my friend that works in one of the local radio stations here. And I said, I want to do a show, business people interviewing business people about the good future Calgary has, the opportunities we have, the companies we don't know about, and the whole, you know, the whole kind of positive forward looking for Calgary. Yeah. And that was late 2020. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I'm going to have a co-host with me, a female co-host that is also from the business world. And I went to the radio and I presented my program, and I said, don't worry, I'll get also the sponsorship.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, let's do a pilot. And the pilot ran for 12 or 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now we're celebrating next month. It is a year since we started. And it's a weekly show. And we interview local entrepreneurs, different industries, health, movie, IT, you name it. And now we're going to add another feature. If you remember, and everybody remembers, the first slogan that came through COVID was not Zoom fatigue. It was support local.
Yes.
So we're now going to feature the small businesses in Calgary and help them get their brand out. And I think that's more or less what you're doing as well. It's supporting the entrepreneurs, you do it on a bigger scale. We're going to do it locally to support the local entrepreneurs and get their brand out there.
Oh, I think it's amazing. And I always say, you know, if you've been blessed, be a blessing. And just you having this idea and moving forward and again, being a host myself for many years now and yourself as a host, what's been one of the most rewarding parts of you, or what's been one of your favorite parts of just connecting with on the local level and really interviewing and showcasing your guests? Like, what's been one of the gratifying things for you?
I think the most gratifying that we got is when we had people that we interviewed, listen to other people that were interviewed and connected and started doing business together.
Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. That
was for us, for Tara and me, that was the most gratifying piece of our work.
It's that absolutely amazing to see that happen. And it does happen.
Yes, it did happen to us more than once. That they started working together. People that, you know, one was interviewed, someone listened, then the other guys interviewed, then they connected through us or directly and started working together. And that is so rewarding. And that's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, there's a great book called Mr. Schmooze. Mm. I highly recommend. It's sometimes you help other people without asking for anything. Mm. And that is the most rewarding as a person you can have for your own, you know, character and your own feelings and emotions.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's called Mr. Schmooze?
Yes. A great book.
That's a fun name.
That's thick. So it's easy for me to read.
So let's get into the real estate market and talk a little bit more about Calgary. So what's going on in the market in Calgary? I know that there'll be some people locally as well in Calgary watching this, a lot of people in the United States as well. So from your vantage point now, we're just for context for everybody watching this, we're recording this now in April of 2022. So what's going on in the real estate market in Calgary?
Well, the real estate market in Calgary is a tale of two stories. And I think it has also to do with many, we work, my brokerage, Barclay Street Real Estate, is only in Alberta, Calgary and Edmonton. But I also have Triumph Real Estate Investment Fund that we buy also in the U.S. Properties so far in Phoenix and Denver. So I know both markets. And Calgary right now represents a good opportunity, and we see it now with companies coming here. Because what happened is, as I mentioned earlier, our market was downtown was 70% oil and gas related. When oil was at $120 in 2013 and 14, we were like, we couldn't care about anything because money was flowing here.
Yeah.
Then came November 2014 and oil crashed to the 20s. So people got laid off right, left. And from all segments, whether it's people in the field, whether it's people in the office, the whole province, we're not a state, we're a province. The whole province went really, really down economically. And Calgary got hit the hardest because we are what's called the white collar, the engineers, the geologists, everybody that is not on the in the field. Most people in the field are Edmonton, Red Deer, north of Calgary, because that's where the oil fields are. So our market went down, and we got to a point that from in 2007 or 8, before the first crash, the financial crash, our downtown vacancy was 0.4%. In 2016, 17, 18, we were at 30%.
Yeah.
So think about it, every third building is empty.
Yeah.
So that creates opportunities because right now what we see is the owners, the landlords are trying to get tenants. So they're giving away space in a fashion that they didn't do before. So you can get a great, great deal. So we see now a lot of IT companies moving to Calgary and or starting here or kind of opening a new branch here because the cost of living is cheaper. The ability of the employees to buy a home is cheaper. Rent is cheaper. Rent for the owner is cheaper. And if you're from California, and my biggest comparison to Calgary would be Arizona and Texas. And the reason I say it is the eastern and western seaboards became so expensive that we see in Arizona, for example, 49 companies moved from California to Arizona before the previous election. So everybody was shocked how Arizona became Democrat. Well, this is how. 49 companies moved more employees because more land, cheaper living than try to buy a house in LA or San Francisco, right? So we see kind of right now the same starting to happen here. Now we are about a phase or two following the US in Canada, but Toronto is expensive, Vancouver is expensive. What's the next great city? Calgary, because you have the Calgary Stampede, you have the Calgary Flames, you're close to the Rockies, you can go hiking, you can go biking, you can go skiing. So that's what we see now. We have another announcement coming this week from another company that is going to come here. We're interviewing, I can't tell you who, we're interviewing tomorrow another company from Vancouver that is moving a big portion of their facilities here. So we see that now. We just sold, my brokerage sold a property and a downtown office to an investor from the U.S. So we see investors from US, from China, and also local from other provinces come to Calgary because they see the opportunity right now here in Calgary to buy or to lease, as the case may be. So it's a great time to come to Calgary because we already turned a corner, and now we are again in a population growth.
So you also mentioned doing investments in the United States, and I believe you said Texas, Arizona, that you have a fund. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So we have a fund that we raise money in Canada, and we buy both sides of the border. So far, we bought in Phoenix, Denver. We bought in Canada. We bought in Ontario, province of Ontario, and in province of Alberta. And we're now in a preparing for to launch fund number three, probably in June. We like the U.S. as a market. We like the U.S. To do deals there and not just in Canada. And we have, you know, local people that we work with in each of every state or city that we choose. We buy properties that we think or we see there is a growth potential. And that's where I wear my broker hat on. Because I'm not afraid of vacancy. I'm not afraid of, you know, rents below market or month-to-month tenants. As a broker, I know how to deal with those guys.
Yeah.
And that was our success so far. We sold four properties. We got really good returns to investors. And we're in the same on the same program. We have good reputation with lenders in the U.S. You know, we paid our mortgage during COVID. We paid our property tax during COVID. So we have this relationship that we're in a position that the banks call us now and say, why aren't you buying? Why aren't you buying? We have money. You know, the one thing you're talking about, what advice to give to entrepreneurs in tough times, call your banker every day. Let him know that you're alive. Let him know you're working. Let him know you're working your butt off, excuse my French, to make it happen and to survive the tough times. They will work with you. It's when we disappear. It's when we disappear, avoid the calls, avoid being in touch with them. That's when we create our own problems to ourselves.
Wow. It's well said, David. So you got a lot going on here. I mean, obviously the brokerage, the investment fund, and one thing on the investment fund, I want to make sure I caught that. So you're accepting assets from Canada at this point, right? Not US investors, or is it both?
Right now we raise money in Canada and some other countries, but not in the US. It's all has to do with tax and cost of doing business. You guys are very expensive. But we like to buy, and we like to buying in the U.S., so that's a good thing.
That's fair. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't glance over that. Got it.
but Adam, for you, if you get us a few, you know, seven figures with a nice number, we'll make it.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Got it.
We'll take the legal cost on us.
Fantastic.
We're nice people in Canada.
Oh, yeah. So, David, again, a lot going on, investment fund, brokerage, I mean, an author, Calgary Next, the show. I mean, you got a lot going on. So I have to ask, so what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for the businesses?
You know, the big disease that entrepreneurs have is their mind always works. So I'm very happy with, for us right now, I'll divide it into three. First of all, in terms of Barclay Street Real Estate, which is the main business, we have an opportunity to, you know, increase our market share. Not always you have opportunities like this because the big sharks, the big whales, the big international companies, they have way more money than me to spend on branding and, you know, the whole nine yards. But what happened during COVID, most of their offices were shut down. We were here. Everybody was here. We see now opportunity to increase our market share. So what I've done is I kind of, to all my salespeople, I said, okay, every new listing you get, a nice bottle of wine. And they know I get, they know I like wine. So I already, in the last month, in March, we started in March, 24 bottles already left my cellar.
Yes.
So, but that is 24 new clients that we have. Yeah. So this is what we are doing right now, is pushing hard to increase and grow our market share. When it comes to Triumph, I told you, as I mentioned earlier, we are now in the process of launching fund number three. Mm-hmm. And I'm meeting a lot of people to see if they will engage with us. In terms of the radio show, we're continuing with the radio show. I have an idea on another radio show that I didn't pitch yet to my partner, my co-host. I'm meeting her tomorrow. She doesn't know what to expect.
I'm sure she expects a curveball from you. They come often.
And then I'm also busy with, our second son is getting married here. So I'm busy preparing the wedding and helping them. And leaving on Friday, this coming Friday, to visit my grandkids in Los Angeles. So with my wife. So, you know, I enjoy life. Yeah. And I think that I'm blessed and we're all blessed. And I work with people that are amazing. Mm. You know, I was... in March, I was in the office for 6 days. I was traveling through conference after conference after conference. And guess what? It didn't stop for 1 minute because I have an amazing people working here. And that's the key for every entrepreneur, is have the right people working with you, because it's a team effort. It's not, nobody can do it alone. Mm-hmm. Nobody can do it alone. It's a team effort. And the more you delegate, the more you let them grow, the better you are to do the stuff that you like to do. And they know that I'm crazy. They know that I like the radio. They know I like to travel. They know. And, you know, it's unbelievable the support I get and from both fronts, my home and my work colleagues. And that's a blessing that, you know, I cannot be thankful enough. And I try, you know, the way... Let me be a little bit kind of more in details on the question. If you remember, during one of our conversation, I told you we're a people company working in real estate.
Yeah.
The way I see the world is, or the company, a company is a dormant thing, that the only way it's going to get livelihood is with the people working with it. So for me, it's the people, then the product, meaning good service, then the clients, and then profit. Hmm. If you have the right people and the right process, you'll have the right clients and you'll be profitable. So the way I see it, my clients are the people that work with me. Mm. So I try to do, and I'm sure I'm doing mistakes. There's no doubt in my mind I'm making mistakes, but I'm trying to do things that culturally will make people feel great working here. Not good, great. So every 2 weeks we have a massage therapist come and give massages here for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Every few weeks I get lunch for everybody. Tomorrow we're going to the shooting age. We don't know, maybe Putin will start to come to Canada. So we're going to shoot some guns tomorrow to practice. Following, we're going to a bar to watch the Flames play the Sharks.
Ah.
So it's those small things that the way I see it is, they're my clients. If they're happy, they will be happy to treat their clients. If they will be, happy with their work, they will work better. Their result will be happy clients. The result will be profit. And it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
And it's not the other way around, which I know a lot of people that think that way.
Ah, it's great, David. I'll tell you, I know I've been inspired by your words today, and I've learned a lot from your entrepreneurial journey. I hope that our audience did as well. That being said, if somebody's watching this and they want to follow up and they want to connect and learn more from you and your team, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way is email, because my EA, Sarah, is connected to my email. And if I don't reply, she's on my neck. And she punishes me because she's responsible for the coffee. And if I don't behave, I don't get a good coffee. So, and I drink at least 3 coffees a day. dwallach@bartleystreet.com or dwallach@triumphref.com. My 2 emails. We have our website is bartleystreet.com. or TriumphREF.com. You know, I'll be happy. One of the things I enjoy right now is working with our young crew as a mentor. Mm-hmm. And mentorship is a rewarding part of the day.
Yeah. It's awesome. Well, we'll put all that information, by the way, for the audience in the show notes so that you can just click on it and just head right on over and check out David and his team. Speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, we're a platform that's all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, why they do what they do, like what excites them to get up in the morning and to go out into the world and make a difference. If that type of content sounds interesting to you or exciting, we welcome you to hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. David, it really has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show. I learned a lot.
Thank you for having me. And my last comment will be, Adam, walk the extra mile because there's no traffic jam over there.
Awesome. I'm in.